So, you know, we wanted to talk a little bit today about online events, and you know, you could let's think about how we want to look at this, Greg. You have, you know, like the classic webinar, and I'll derisively call it, you know, death by PowerPoint, right?
The thing.
But then you have a more engaging, live, hopefully interactive version of that. You know, let's say Zoom, since I'm a big advocate for Zoom, right?
We were one of the first users of Zoom, I think, when they first came out.
Yeah, we were like number doing it 12 alone. Or something.
Yeah, and we want to compare this to, as you say this, to like live events.
Yeah.
We've done another segment on live events, and we get a lot of people that say, that use those as a mainstay of their marketing. These work and can work just as well or even better.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of advantages over live events. Number one, you can stay in your office or at your home. Number two, you can market to and have clients from anywhere in the country or anywhere maybe in the world, depending on where you're licensed. So,
yeah.
So this is one reason this can really explode your business. And maybe you don't want to, you know, travel all over the country or state, or maybe your clients don't want to drive into a seminar. So this can make a big difference in your
business. Well, hell, in some markets, you know, L.A. or New York, right?
The traffic is bad enough, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, they live in Long Island and you're in Jersey. They live in, you know, places, right?
Or L.A. anywhere.
Oh, yeah. But there's webinar, live interactive. There's pretend live webinar. What's that app we've been? Oh, Ever
Webinar.
Yeah, Ever Webinar.
And there's other versions of this,
but it
means that you record it possibly once live, or maybe you just record it, and then you can play it, and it looks like it's live, and it looks like it's got interactions
along with playing the chat box.
You can kind of put in fake questions and go, oh, I have a question from so and so, and they want to know this, and it looks like it's live. And what'll happen is, you can put your, you know, set appointment here, and we're going to talk about how to do appointments in a second. But you can put your offers and everything on the side, so it's real interesting.
Yeah, and then there's just doing a live cast, you know, so you can. We could be on Zoom and have nobody else on there, but then we live cast it out to YouTube, Vimeo, Facebook, etc., right? So live cast out to your Facebook business page.
Which this can be live casted to as
Yeah. So the live interactive can be live cast. The webinar can be live cast. Well, the pretend live, I guess, the first time. But online, the dynamic is different. In part because
another version is the recorded, which is not our favorite one, I guess.
Yeah, I was doing that as pretend live, but yeah, right,
So the difference between that, the pretend live, this is one that looks interactive. It'll look like there's a lot of interaction happening at the same time. This one is, and we see some people doing this one.
We're registered here for our training session, and it doesn't.
Yeah, it really looks just like it's pitched as a webinar, but it really is just somebody recording their PowerPoint presentation, and there's maybe a pitch at the end, but it doesn't have the. It's not like this where it looks like to everybody's from the client's point or the prospect's point of view that it's a live webinar. This one, most people are. I don't want to say fooled because that sounds bad, but fooled into thinking that this thing is live. It's treated in the registration like we're going to have a live webinar at 5 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock you register and it looks like it's live, even though in reality there's like 20 of these going on, or really any time it's going on, but it's live.
Well, by the way, the dead giveaway on that, and you've probably seen some, the dead giveaway is always there's one today at 5. Or there's one today at 2, there's one today at 5, and there's one tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a lot of them available.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, I mean, it's in 30 minutes, or it's in 5 hours, right?
So, right, but it's compelling, and if you're not seeing a lot of these like we do all the time, it'll look to the regular civilian that it's live. But anyway, the point is these are clearly promoted as it's a recording, and
Sometimes this is like the elaborate explainer videos.
Yeah.
The animated
stuff. Listen to my you know, my speech on this or that. And this is our least favorite because it, number one, it's clear that it's not live, and it people know that it's not interactive.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah. But all of these things, not all of them. The live interactive can replicate the dinner meetings, lunch meetings, almost to a T, and can be nearly as effective at generating appointments. And with the exception of actually meeting people face to face, although you accomplish that, so it's not really a deficit.
Yeah, live interactive is their face on the screen.
Yeah.
Not just a chat box.
That's a good way of saying it. In fact, we've done it where anybody who didn't have an appointment yet, we pull them off into a breakout room on Zoom and have somebody make the appointment, then put them back into the main meeting.
Right? Yeah, and that works great.
Yeah, yeah. And
the last time we did that, we had 100% set appointments.
Yeah.
It's not an exaggeration. Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens here is on a live interactive Zoom is. I'll say my only hesitation about saying this. If you get people and there's only a phone number and they haven't engaged by video, oftentimes you end up trying to have a conversation with somebody who's not really there.
Right.
Right. And it's the problem with webinars generally is they're at their desk, they, you know, back-to-back appointments, somebody no-show, they log in, and their level of engagement. See, at least if they had to get in the car and drive 15 minutes or 30 minutes to come do it, they're engaged in being there. And with a webinar, it's much more like, at any of these levels, it's much like more like an infomercial where you've really got to work to keep them tuned to that channel.
Right.
Right? You've really got to work to keep them tuned in. But if I can get, I don't care whether it's 5 people or 100 people, and get them where their video is live, where they're there, where I can ask them questions, where I get their name on the screen, then we're having the same kind of race that we're having with a live in-person.
Yeah, and you can facilitate this in a lot of ways, like the reminders for it, which we talked in our other segment where we talked about how you want to remind people to show up and increase your show rates to your seminars or your webinars. When you do the reminders, you let them know one of our rules is that we want you there live. So make sure you show up on a laptop or a tablet, not your iPhone.
At your desk.
At your desk.
Not on a cellular connection.
Yeah, and we want you there live on video because we're going to have interactive conversations. So you make it fun. You make it fun that this is going to be a really fun event. And if you put some personality, inject some personality, again, we've got another segment on how to give yourself a personality in all of this.
Yeah.
So if you do that,
and pretend you do.
Or pretend you do, right? Yeah. Like I have to. So as you do the reminders, you can let them know. Plus, at the beginning of the webinar, we'll always tell everybody, hey, everybody, turn your video on. This is an interactive webinar. And establish rules. And this would just be like a elementary school teaches in the first day of school. We've got rules in the classroom. You've got to sit in your desk. You've got to do this. We have rules in the webinar. One of the rules is keep your audio on mute so that we don't have background noise. But we want you to interact. We absolutely want you to interact. Video on, audio on mute, and give them some rules. So that makes it more interactive, and they know that you're going to be talking. And then, by the way, you do engage them. You do talk to them and ask them some questions. So, you're from this place, and we've gathered information on them before. So we're not asking them embarrassing questions, but we do stuff to engage people during the webinar. So the more you can do that, the more it's just like a real live seminar, just like you normally teach. If you're the kind of person that teaches a seminar and you never talk to the people personally, you won't have as good a results anyway. If you're teaching a seminar and you tend to talk to people personally and engage them and ask them questions, you'd have better results. So it's the same way at a webinar. When we hear people say, well, the webinars don't work as much as live seminars, yeah, if at a seminar you stood in front and you just lectured and you never engaged anybody, that wouldn't work as well either. So it's the same at a live
interactive event. We had a client who was doing live webinars, the COVID disaster, is
he was doing live seminars, and then he had COVID disaster, I think, right?
Right, right. But then he did. He went straight from live seminar, engaging, really nice guy, to pretend live webinar, recorded something, and had them land on a page and played it.
Well, it was this one, I think.
Yeah, it was this.
Yeah. It was a recorded webinar
presentation,
and I don't think he pitched it as this. He didn't do it the way we talked about, where it had the interaction. It built in so it looked like a live webinar. So there was no interaction at all. And again, it wasn't like this one that we're telling you that is much better deal.
Yeah.
And his results plummeted.
Well, let's step back a second because we may have gotten ahead of ourselves. Is all of these online seminars can be for client engagement. In other words, I see people who will meet with their clients personally once or twice a year. And that's it. Compare that with every month I have a client meeting that's interactive, they can ask questions, but I'm presenting individual topics.
On a real interesting topic that should be very relevant to them.
Yeah. Or I might have one once a week on different topics, right? I might have topic A on the first week and topic B and topic C, designed to create a segment of my clients to show up, right? That's much more effective and efficient, especially market just crashed and we know that a bunch of people are panicking. Well, why not have a group session, right? And I can do 20 or 30 minutes on why investors who ride out highs and lows end up better in the long run, and I can give them the data and the stats and so forth, and I can show them the 100-year graph and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, instead of what usually happens with advisors, bad things happen and they dive under the table and hope that nobody calls.
And then I can use all of these for referral events, right? So that's an event where maybe I'm doing it for clients and I'm encouraging them to invite a friend. And creating a mechanism for their friend to register, for them to register an event, for them to sponsor them, and to create topics that their friends are going to be just as excited about as our clients are going to be. And then I can market just like a dinner meeting through social media, direct mail. Hell, I could do TV, I could do radio, I can do a publicity tour. A mutual friend of ours, he does big seminars like Fill a Ballroom for people who had declared bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And what he told me was, the biggest worry somebody has to file bankruptcy is, can I get a credit card? And can I buy a car? And how do I fix my credit, right? So he had a law firm and he had a car dealer and he had a credit card company and something else that I'm forgetting who would, pitch him, right? Same idea as a financial advisor, although it's probably not the target audience in most cases. But he went from show up in each city in a ballroom, marketing it through direct mail, to marketing it through direct mail and do it on an online format, and his results were identical. So instead of him, and he always stayed in the Four Seasons or the Ritz, so it wasn't rough duty. In fact, I think he was.
But he had to fly and travel those places.
Yeah, in his Gulfstream. But
okay.
But you get the idea.
Yeah.
It's like LeGrand, But the reality was he managed to get the same numbers. And the only thing they had to work on a little bit was the car dealership, because the car dealerships were showing up with the Mustang and one thing or another.
Right.
And they'd sit in the car. So they had to tweak that a little bit to get the same conversion results. But for all of it, they were getting the same results with promoting it by direct mail and putting them in a live video session. And then he shifted it to pretend live, because what he would do is he had a little elaborate, but he had an elaborate home studio by the time he got done with all this stuff. He made making a lot of money. But he had a home studio, and what he would do is he'd record an introduction with the same set and everything else that everything else was. So he'd come on and say, "Hey, Denver, I'm so happy to be here." and at some point he'd say, "And thank you for Emick Oils who are here," or whatever it is, and so forth. And then they'd cut into just the same one.
Yep. And then somewhere at the end, they would cut back in, hey, Endeavor, this has been really, really great. You know, it'd be like, I'm going to take a little bit of a break, but let me tell you about, you know, this. And then he'd come back and say, Denver's been great. And so really what it was is, and they were all day seminars, by the way.
Right.
So he had, you know, three hours, but he cut in 5 minutes at the front.
Yeah, he injected a little segment for each piece.
Yeah.
So in the same results.
Yeah. So it's all pre-recorded except for that. And then they just marketed to each city, right? And they had a live event in Denver campaign. They had a live event. But it wasn't like they just broadcast it everywhere. They individually, each city, and promoted it. And the results were the same, except that he didn't have travel expenses. He didn't have to rent a ballroom. He didn't have to get in his private plane and, you know, travel and destitute. But you get the idea. So this can be same audience as it would be a luncheon or a dinner meeting. It can be referrals that your clients are bringing. It can be client engagement. What we've talked about in a different segment here is it can also be like circle of influence type of group. So I could do a webinar, a Zoom interactive, a pretend live webinar, a live cast for a CPA's clientele. And in fact, I could do it the pretend live with an introduction that says, you know, like, my guy's name's Robin Smith. So, hey, I'm so happy to be here with Robin's clients. I know that he's told me ahead of time that you guys are very interested in these topics. So I want to make sure we had these topics. Click. It's already pre-recorded if I want.
Yeah, and understand this, that when we talk to a lot of advisors, that we ask them what their marketing is. They say, well, I'm trying to build a circle of influence with a lawyer, a CPA, and have them refer people to me. And we've said this before in other segments, but those guys suck at referring people. They're not good at selling their own business. They're not good at selling yours. They're not going to be very good. But this can work great. And all they have to do is either through a couple methods that we can suggest, and we did it in the other segment, they can get people to come to your webinar, which is going to be their webinar, about the topic that's going to be compelling for their clients. And then, again, we're going to cover topics that will be important to them. And then there'll be some either common offer or just an offer for them to use your services.
Yeah, and that was, I was having a conversation recently, and same idea. And in the conversation, it was he had 100 clients, but there were 14 that really needed what we were doing. And I said, well, okay, great. Why don't we just schedule a free meeting for them? And, you know, invite all 100, but, you know, let me know which 14 really, really need it. And we'll just do a live Zoom meeting, and we'll do about 90 minutes on these topics. It'll be fully interactive. They can ask any questions. And, of course, what I would prefer is give me the list and I'll promote it for them, right? But if I can't get that, I'm going to help him promote it, right?
Yeah, give him all the copy.
Yeah.
Give him all the information on how to promote it. Maybe give him pre-addressed envelopes with everything.
Because, by the way, what he'll do otherwise is send them all one email.
Right. Yeah. You want to make sure they're marketing it the way that we would recommend marketing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and probably tenfolding from what they will do by default.
Yeah, these guys won't do it right. So we have to help them do it. But if you can help them market it right and have them, the circle of influence, market to your webinar, then you'll have results from those guys. Otherwise, you really won't.
Yeah. But so on that step back, it can be done for client engagement. It can be done for clients.
Which will help you retain your clients and then also potentially have them engage with you more with more business.
Well, yeah, like you, you'll be top of mind. It even if it's not that they're bringing a friend, is they're much more likely to refer people to you.
Yeah, they'll remember you.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps.
You won't forget your name.
Yeah. Well, and they'll remember you when they're having, you know, lunch with friends. They'll remember you when they're on the golf course one day or another. But it can be marketed like a dinner meeting or a lunch meeting, and it can be marketed to the clients of estate planning attorney, CPAs, et cetera, right? And by the way, this can expand way more than people think, right? We were talking before about the marketing to the Porsche dealer's customers.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a lot different than thinking, you know, it just has to be CPAs.
Well, and your ideal client, yeah, you know, if yeah. you think, if your ideal client might be...
Or to the football team, you know, the pro football team.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the pilots of American Airlines, if that's your niche. You know, we had clients that are working with different groups like dentists. It could be marketed to all the dentists that meet some certain threshold.
Yeah, exactly. But then you can choose a format. And I've got to freely admit, this is my personal favorite.
Yeah.
And, you know, with all of the live events and all the teaching classes we've done over the years, I like being able to say, well, Lynn, what do you think? You know, Joe, what do you think? Greg, what's your opinion? You know, Joe, do you have any questions about this topic? I like being able to do that, right?
Sure.
And I like being able to, in Zoom's format, you know, let me have Bill come over here and talk to Mindy. And then she can schedule an appointment, then I can have the next person.
Yeah, this one allows you to schedule appointments more directly. This one allows you to have a link for people to schedule yeah. appointments and have it automated, which is nice. This is when you can replay and replay and replay. This one may be able to do that. You could have a link somewhere.
It's more difficult because it's going out on right. different people's platforms.
Right, yeah. And then this one's probably the worst one in yeah. that way. So. This is kind of an order of most, it's more labor, but it'd probably be the most efficient. And then.
Well, or like a GoToMeeting standard death by PowerPoint webinar, yeah. right? Which is my, this is probably my least favorite. This is, you know.
Yeah. How to run the webinars yeah. is what we're talking about. If it's PowerPoint slides, bullet, you can have some slides. It's not like you couldn't. But it should be more interactive with you as a person. And the slides are color.
And by the way, if you wanted an example of how to use slides, go back to any of Steve Jobs' old presentations. You know, look at how they used Keynote.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whether it's the first iPhone reveal or the first iPad or any of the other, is they were a master at, and many are, but master at, there wasn't three paragraphs to read on the thing.
Yeah, there's a few bullet points.
Yeah.
A compelling graphic, something like that. Yeah. Just a small thing. The idea is it should just
Or it's a cartoon.
Yeah, or the yeah, big yeah, picture. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah, something just a reference that is giving them an image. Yeah. It's supposed to be an image and something to complement what you're talking about, not to replace what you're talking yeah. about. It's not supposed to be the story. It's supposed to complement the story.
Now, sympathetic coughing.
Here. Yeah. What I do, I mean, you can also use, like I use a whiteboard. You
yeah,
can use
yeah.
a whiteboard
yeah.
type thing,
yeah.
Which is good because then you're writing like what we're doing here.
Yeah, yeah. Or you're using humorous, you know. You've got the, well, I won't use the example. I was going to use a Frank Kern example, but that's, you know.
You got a video to play for. Is it a video? No.
This was, he searched the internet for the world's biggest cock.
Oh, that's nice.
And the video, the slide he put up was this giant rooster. So, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's Frank.
Yeah. You know? So you need to know your audience and who you're working yeah. with before you do that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, my favorite example is the Tony Robbins example. Is he was invited to a martial arts school convention.
Yeah.
And he was invited by Chuck Liddell and John Hackelman. And his vision was it was the MMA audience. In reality, most in the audience were there with their kids.
Like family
yeah,
kind of
families
people, yeah.
with, you know, with their kids. And he went into full foul mouth and gestations and one thing or another, to the point that you know, families were leaving in disgust.
Yeah.
You know, because it was a mismatch. And
yeah.
And you've got to know what your audience is. But so as you go through this, anytime you can inject humor, right? Anytime you can do a little shock value. You know, I see people.
And those are good things to do, by the way. Those are.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I see people using like the cat hanging from the ledge and so forth, which is probably overdone. But, you know, you have the, you know, I use the one with me pulling my hair out. But anytime you can inject humor or something like that. But the worst thing to do is feel like it's death by PowerPoint, and yeah. and have 12 bullet points you're, you know, that they're reading while you're, you know, while you're going through it all. You know, Kennedy will use it when he's making a sale, but he always uses that what do they call it?
The that thing? Old style like a video screen where you just put a piece of paper on.
Yeah,
the screen,
yeah, it shows. But he never, if you notice, either has like the video, you know, the paper here, and then he has something blocking the rest of it.
Yeah.
Or it'll be he puts it down, and you get the idea, and just as you're trying to make notes on it, he pulls it away, right? Mm. And it's like the behind the door secret of what you're going to be. But if you buy whatever it is he's selling, then you, of course, you get all right. of this stuff, right? But it'll always be kind of the, oh my God, you know, give me more.
Yeah. Right? So be careful about when you're doing these kind of things, taking the your if you're working with a company like Mass Mutual, Northwest yeah. Mutual, one of the companies, a lot of times they'll have presentation material for you, and it's and it is a big huge PowerPoint full of stuff with a bunch of graphs and things. Mostly don't use that. I mean, you can take a few of those pieces, and sometimes those are helpful, and they mean well, but that's not really what we're talking about when you're doing a webinar. It's not
or for compliance, it can be you show the slides, but then you turn it on video and you eject
exactly them, right? or show you don't have to show all the slides.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, don't change them around. We're not saying delete them, but not all of this, not all of those should be. You wouldn't just go through each slide, no picture of yourself, and then talk. And what's even worse, rule number one of PowerPoint is never read the PowerPoint.
Yeah.
So, you know, we see a lot of people do these kind of webinars and they're just reading the PowerPoint.
Read nothing.
Nobody ever needs to hear that ever in the history of mankind. Yeah. So that-
Whether it's live or online.
Yeah, yeah, no, it doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah.
So it needs to be an interactive, when we say interactive, it really does need to be interactive. Yeah. So
as you know, I fucking hate PowerPoint, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
He doesn't like it. I like it a little bit. I think it should be complimentary. Yeah. So that's the recommended version.
I mean, if I was using PowerPoint, it would be cartoons and some humorous slides that somehow make the point.
Which would be perfect.
But that would be it, right?
Yeah.
And mostly I'd rather, you know, do this or not have it at all. But, you know, anyway, on that note, you get the idea is in all of this stuff, and we talked about it in another segment, you've got to make an appointment to follow up or it doesn't do you any good, right?
Yeah.
Unless it's just purely client engagement. And sometimes even then you want to
And the rule still applies that we said in the live webinar segment is the request for the appointment should happen in the beginning, the middle, and the end, if not all the way through.
Well, but if you keep in mind, it should happen when they register.
Right. Before the registration point.
Yeah.
So you do need to watch our segment on live events. It all applies here.
And when we do like the breakout room thing, that'll only be the people on our list that don't have an appointment yet.
Right. Well, so, and they can break out and confirm the appointment.
Yeah.
But again, don't ever do the big mistake of number one worst mistake is you do one of these things and then at the end you say, oh, if everybody's really, you know, really likes this and think it resonates with you, give us a call.
Yeah. No.
That's worst mistake.
Yeah.
Next worst mistake is you do the webinar. And at the end of it, you say, and if you'd like to do this, click the button and set the appointment at the end, because a lot of people drop off towards the end. That's the number one drop off time, especially if they know you're winding up.
Yeah.
So it's got to be all throughout the especially at these levels, your ask has to be all during it. But this one, it should be in all of them, as Steve says, it's before when they register. If they are attending, though, it should be during all the way through.
Well, and to freely admit, I mean, we had one recently that was really short promotional cycle, not promoted very well, but also meant that there wasn't a lot of lead time to have all this stuff done ahead of time.
Right.
And so it was like the equivalent of being in a boardroom live meeting.
Yeah.
And like if I'm in a boardroom live meeting and I don't have appointments for everybody yet, or if I do, let's say there's 12 people, I'll go through and say, Now, Lynn, your appointment is Monday. Joe, your appointment is Tuesday. Sue, we don't have a time yet. Would this time or this time be better? Bill, would this time or this time be? And I'll just go through and, you know, and make it right there in front of everybody. And when we did that, remember that Zoom meeting, we just did that as a group and said, okay, and I know you have an appointment, you have an appointment, you have an appointment. Bill, I already talked to you, but Sue, Bill,
you know,
let's just schedule a time. And here's, you know, are you better during the day or the evening?
Yeah, so you can just set the appointments right in front of everybody with, and you just write them all down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's doable if you don't have a large group in that. This is one where we really did this last minute, so we didn't have a really huge group.
But,
and a bunch of them set appointments.
And to be fair, about half of them had an appointment, about half of them didn't.
Right.
So then you have the social proof of, and that's why I called out, you've got an appointment, you've got an appointment, you don't have an appointment, and so you just register, you don't have an appointment. And it worked well that way.
So that's a possibility as well.
Yeah.
But again, the appointment is really critical that it's asked for early, middle, and end. Don't do those other mistakes.
Yeah. And we haven't talked much about content, but you know, I'll just leave you with one thought, is the mission is never really to teach much, is to keep the end in mind, right? So, you know, I've heard it described as, you know, tell them what to do, not how to do it. A lot of what I see is maybe even, you know, what to do, but it's complicated enough and it's confusing enough that they know they need somebody to hold them by the hand, right? But you want to keep your end in mind, and the end is to get an appointment, phone, Zoom, in person, to follow up and close the sale. Because, you know, very rarely in what we're doing are you going to get the sale closed en masse, right? I mean, unless you're selling a $49 a month subscription or a box that's going to solve their problem. If you're really doing, you're managing their assets and you're, you know, or you're evaluating their needs, selling life insurance or an annuity, you're not going to be able to just say, here, you know, click this button and buy now.
Right.
Right. So we've really got to drive to an appointment and to close as a client. And you've got to make sure that that's the end in mind. And everything is only designed to end up getting a client, but that's designed to get an appointment.
Yeah.
On that note,
the big message. I don't have anything else to add there. Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah, and we could do, you know, that could be a 3-day seminar as well. But
right. Well, that's what we help all our clients do, is set the webinars up and get the client, get the
including
content,
including the technical pieces.
Yeah, including all these technical pieces. So for any of you, don't stress about those. You know, we'll walk you through how to do those on an individual basis, because it does kind of depend on what your niche is, which one of these would apply to you, and also what kind of work you're doing and what your volume is, and there's a few other factors to determine which one of these you'd do. So we'll work that out with you individually.
Yeah, on that note, we'll call it a day here.
All right, see you next time.